Well, sir, it's about 10:30 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find our friend spending a quiet evening at home. Vic is seated in his easy chair reading the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly. Sade occupies a corner of the Davenport with her sewing. And young Rush, at the library table, laboriously travels the labyrinthine trails of algebraic formulae. And his mother, glancing at him, remarks...
All through?
Yeah, at least.
You studied real well. Almost 2 solid hours.
That long?
Well, you got home from Bluetooth Johnson's house at 8:30. It's nearly 10:30 now.
Time goes by quick when you're busy.
Yeah. You're awake at last, too, huh, mister?
The kitchen ready is quietly from cover to cover.
You realize the three of us been sitting here all evening and nobody's opened their mouth?
Matter of fact.
Been quiet as a horse. Telephone hasn't even rung. Willie's been studying, you've been reading, I've been sewing. It's a rare thing for this family to sit in the same room 2 whole hours and not a soul say anything.
Let's say something now.
Yeah, let's have a chat.
Anybody got anything to chat about?
People might be interested in the stirring news that Papa's going to bed directly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I got something to chat about. Bumped into Ms. Harris's room and Mr. Sludge after school this afternoon, and he was crying.
Well, nothing unusual about that. He's always crying.
The reason why he was crying today is pretty unusual.
His shoes pinching his feet again?
No. A clerk down in the 5 and 10 cent store hurt his feelings, just the same as called him a thief.
Really?
Seems he was in the 5 and dime during his noon hour, and at the refreshment counter, some lady was advertising a new kind of root beer. Handing out free samples in little paper cups, see? Well, she offered one to Mr. Sludge, and he took it. He also helped himself to a cookie that was handy. He was under the impression the cookies were part of the free samples. Well, sir, the fellow behind the refreshment counter saw him. He come over and says, "Look, chum, lay off the cookies. If you feel like eating some cookies, buy some cookies."
Oh, my.
Mr. Sludge burst into tears and cried the rest of the afternoon. The fellow just the same as called me a thief, he sobbed. The fellow just the same as called me a thief.
Oh, my.
Is Sludge feeble-minded?
Oh, just homesick. That's the reason behind his crying so much. He misses his mother and sisters up in Pontiac.
Didn't you tell me the guy's 43 years old?
Yeah, but that don't cut any ice when you're a mama's boy. Makes no difference how old a person is. Once a mama's boy, always a mama's boy.
Look, chum, lay off the cookies.
Poor fella. I feel sorry for him.
Have we got any delicate tidbit out in the pantry, Dr. Sleech?
Hungry?
Oh, not really, I don't suppose. Still, a dainty bite or something or other might intrigue me.
I could eat myself.
If you fellas will wait till I finish the shoulder of this nightgown, I'll fix a little snack for all of us.
Good stuff.
All right. Say, Vic, I have got something to chat about.
You met the brickmush man out in the alley this afternoon and he cried.
No, it's Miss Scott.
Oh, it's her general health.
All right, I guess. It's her arms around the neck chumminess that's beginning to get under my collar.
Hmm?
Tonight at supper, she ran over with a plate of donuts.
Yeah, and very good they were, too.
Any left, Mom?
A few, I think. Well, I'm grateful for nice favors. She's sweet to think of me. But I've always been afraid of too much chumminess between next-door neighbors, and I'm afraid of it now. Constant running back and forth between next-door neighbors is bound to lead to squabbles sooner or later. And I hate squabbles. And another habit of hers is to bust in my house without knocking. That's a business that's got to stop. She done it today. I was upstairs making the beds. All of a sudden, right down below me in the living room, I heard sounds. Thought, naturally, it was Rush. And then this voice called, "Sadie! Sadie!" Well, it upset me so I almost hollered something cross.
Yeah.
And that Sadie business is another stunt of hers I don't like. I don't call Miss Donahue or Miss Harris or Miss Razorscum by their first names. First names is all right for relations and close friends, but not for neighbors.
Well, it's her first name.
Miss Scott?
Mm.
Margaret. She asked me to call her Margaret, too, but I'm not going to do it. See, Vic, the point is, Miss Scott and I can't ever be close friends, and so it's plain foolishness to start any chumminess.
Why can't you be close friends?
Well, just can't is all. Built different, I guess. See, the thing is, I'm not comfortable with Miss Scott. I don't say she bosses me exactly, but I get the feeling she's bossing me.
I appreciate how you mean, Ma.
When we're together and talking, I'm always kind of halfway on the defensive. I get the idea that underneath all that breezy friendliness of hers, there's a certain... Oh, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, you get the idea that underneath all that breezy friendliness of hers, there's a certain contempt.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head. A certain contempt. Certain contempt for me and my opinions. So you grasp how I mean? There's no sense in starting up an arms around the neck chumminess with a person when you're not comfortable with the person, is there?
No.
Oh, one day last week she asked me if I was going downtown. It happened I wasn't. She said if I was, she was going to ask me to wear a pair of shoes she'd just bought. Break them in for, see?
Sure.
Well, I'm not that chummy with Ruthie.
Mom, you mentioned a new shoes. Reminds me of an experience Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap had.
How's that?
Well, by George. For once in my life, people are actually going to let me tell an experience Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap had.
Oh, go ahead. Tell it. We're supposed to be having a chat, you know. I had my turn. All that rigmarole about Miss Scott. She's all right. I imagine I sounded like I despised her. I don't. It's just that, well, like I said, I'm not comfortable with her. I feel like maybe I ought to sit right down on brass tacks and come out in the open and say, Miss Scott, we can't ever be close friends. Let's not make the effort. But of course I won't. Thing I'm afraid of is one of these fine days she's going to bust in my house without knocking or pull off some other stunt that goes against the grain, and I'll blurt out some remark and she'll be mad at me, and then I'll have that my next door neighbor's mad at me situation to contend with. I just can't stand living next door to people I'm on the outs with. Every time you leave the house, every time you enter the house, you feel it. Out in the backyard, you feel it. Even inside, you feel it. Boy, I sure am wound up this evening. That's because I sat here for 2 hours without talking while you fellas read your magazines and studied your algebra. I was just dying to talk, but knew you never wanted to be disturbed. You still hungry?
I'm prepared to nibble on some.
Well, I'll be through here directly and go see what's in the pantry.
Fine.
I knew I'd never get to finish that story.
Well, what story's that?
Story about Smelly.
Oh, Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll say 6 words and then either you or Gov will come.
No, go ahead. We'll sit quiet as mice.
Well, sir, Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
Hey,
had...
kiddo, have I got a fresh shirt for in the morning?
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead, please, buddy.
Okay, I will. Now give a guy a show.
Shoot.
Mom, a while ago, you mentioned Miss Scott in connection with a pair of new shoes.
Uh-huh. Oh, my golly, the nerve of her. She says, I just thought if you were going downtown, Sadie. I'm sorry, Flea Potter.
Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap had an experience with a pair of new shoes.
I want to hear all about it.
So did I.
He bought himself a pair of very expensive horsehide shoes. Cordovan, I believe they call that kind of leather.
Yeah.
Well, sir, he was residing in Moline, Illinois at the time, and he had a roommate named Urquhart. He says, Urquhart, you're going downtown. Will you wear my new shoes and break them in a little? Urquhart said, sure. Well, sir, by George, Urquhart put on them new shoes and went downtown and got hit by a streetcar and went out of his head. He was out of his head 3 weeks. In the meantime, Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap made frantic efforts to get his shoes back. But he couldn't prove they were his. Urquhart's family wouldn't part with them. And all that entire 3 weeks, Urquhart's father wore the shoes. Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap tried to have him arrested and thrown in jail and everything else, but no soap. And to top it all off, the Urquhart family moved to Gravelman, South Carolina. And Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap was out a pair of Cordovan leather shoes that had set him back $15.
Most absorbing chronicle.
Yes, very nice.
At last, I actually finished a story about Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
Well, fellas.
You finished?
Yep.
Shall we withdraw to the kitchen?
Okay.
He had a pretty good chat after all, hey, Ma? In spite of the 2 hours you had to keep quiet.
Very lovely chat.
I expect us three people are what you call a contented family. Everybody likes everybody.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.